Pop Health Podcast is a public service of 24-Hour Home Care. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Pop Health Podcast. My name is Gavin Ward, and I'm the host of Pop Health Podcast. And today, I'm at a wonderful organization that's often been named the best places to work throughout the years. I'm here at Kindred Healthcare in Westminster, California, with our guest, Chief Operating Officer for the California Hospital Division, Brooke Saunders. Welcome, Brooke.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Great. We're happy to have you. I'm also alongside my co-host and colleague, Ryan Berger. Ryan, welcome.
Thank you, Gavin. Hello, everybody.
So, Berger, Chip Kelly's been in the news. For those of you listening, Berger, as I refer to him, is an Eagles fan, and now Chip is with the San Francisco 49ers. How do you feel about that?
Like the Eagles, I think I'm ready to move on.
All right. Very good. We were chatting with Brooke a little bit earlier, and she's from Glendale, Arizona. Is that correct, Brooke?
That is correct.
So born in Texas. Tell me a little bit about that and then how you ended up out here.
Yeah, just spent some very early years in Texas and born there, but then spent most of my childhood and growing up through high school in Glendale, Arizona, and then went off to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania to Duquesne University for college and postgraduate.
Very good. And I hear Steelers fan in the house?
I am a Steelers fan. That's correct.
Terrible towel?
Just a few in the house.
Okay. Very good. Our co-host, Joe Zimmer, who's not here today, he's a big Steelers fan, too, so he'd be happy to hear that. Brooke, can you tell us a little bit more about yourself? You'd mentioned Texas and your Arizona connection as well. How did you end up starting with Kindred? Actually, before that, maybe tell us a little bit about something that would surprise the audience or maybe something folks don't know about you.
Sure. Well, I'm not sure that it's something that not anybody knows, but I actually played college volleyball.
Okay.
And played volleyball growing up throughout grade school and high school and had a wonderful opportunity to play college volleyball at Duquesne University in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And was such a wonderful opportunity because I feel like it really set me up to start my adult years on a positive note and graduating from a wonderful university with a physical therapy master's degree. So just a little fun fact.
Very cool. Now, the PT master's degrees, do those still exist? I know they've changed things a little bit.
They have. Yeah. So don't date me. Don't age me there. But yeah, so when I graduated, we were still able to graduate with a master's in physical therapy. And so grandfathered in from that. But now it is a doctorate degree.
Okay, very good. And I understand after you graduated, you started your career with Kindred. Is that correct?
I did. 12 years ago, I started with Kindred once I graduated. And it's been a wonderful career. They've provided me with many opportunities. And I was actually introduced to Kindred as a student physical therapist in at Duquesne. My first clinical rotation was at our Kindred Pittsburgh location.
Okay.
And it really opened my eyes to what Kindred could provide. Going into physical therapy school with a sports background, I always thought I would do sports medicine, something outpatient. And when I walked into our Kindred hospitals, I really felt an opportunity to not only impact the patient and their health, but I was involved in getting them back home.
Yeah.
And I was involved in supporting their family as well. And so it wasn't in an outpatient clinic where I was helping their knee or their elbow or their ankle, I was really helping the entire being and their family. And so that really touched me. And so kind of changed the course of where I was going from a physical therapy career and introduced me to Kindred, which was, something that was meant to be. And when I graduated from physical therapy school, there was no other place that I wanted my first job to be was other than Kindred. So moved back home to Glendale, Arizona, and got my first job there with Kindred and grew within the rehab division and grew to have oversight of multiple rehab departments in Arizona and had some different opportunities there. And then eventually was brought over to the hospital division because I wanted to continue to learn and expand my knowledge of healthcare, and had an opportunity as an assistant administrator over an entire hospital here in California, and then went to CEO role at Kindred Santa Ana and our Kindred Westminster position, which has now brought me here to the Chief Operating Officer of California District.
Very good. Tell us, Ryan, I think you had a question.
That's, first of all, very impressive. Quite a path you've taken. So with your role now, can you go into a little bit more detail about it and what responsibilities it includes as the COO?
Yeah, absolutely. I've been in this role now for just a year, almost a year.
Okay.
And so I think that, you know, what I would like to say is that as healthcare continues to change, I think my role, it's important that, the role continues to change and the focus has changed as well. But one of my main priorities is working with our CEOs. We have 13 hospitals throughout California, from San Diego all the way up to San Francisco, with a lot of them being here in Riverside, LA, Orange County. And so one of my main responsibilities is to help our CEOs and you know, help with the oversight of the financials, the clinical, the overall operations, making sure that we're keeping our and maintaining our regulatory compliance within each of the hospitals, and then have a strong role within business development, physician alignment. So if we're working with a specific hospital system or looking to bring on additional physicians within each of our hospitals, they may ask me to participate in that and help, you know, grow from that aspect. And then again, as I mentioned earlier, as healthcare changes, all of our hospitals need to evolve their strategies and develop different strategies to continue to grow and remain competitive and viable within our market. And so I'm here to help support them in developing and then executing those strategies.
Okay, very good. Now, while a lot of healthcare professionals are familiar with what a long-term acute care hospital is or does, maybe in simplified terms, can you tell us, what is an LTAC?
Yeah. You know, I think that that's probably one of the most important topics that we're going to talk about today. And every time I go out into the community, it's something that I always reiterate, because people, unless you have been a patient or worked in an LTAC or been a physician in an LTAC, people don't understand exactly the services that we're able to provide. And so our long-term acute care hospitals are able to provide aggressive, specialized, interdisciplinary care to medically complex patients.
Okay.
The patients within our hospitals are extremely ill, and it's the services within our hospitals that help us to care for those patients. We're very different from skilled nursing facilities. We're very different from subacutes because of those specialized acute care services that we're able to provide to these patients. We take an interdisciplinary approach to the treatment. We involve all of our departments, respiratory, rehab, nutrition, and really provide the care from an interdisciplinary standpoint.
Okay, and then my understanding, you know, I'm very used to the SNF or skilled nursing world,
mm-hmm.
and when I was first introduced to Kindred a while ago, I just assumed that Kindred just did skilled nursing, and if I recall correctly, is there a physician pretty much available at all times in an LTAC, or how does that work?
So in our hospitals, we do require daily physician visits.
Okay.
We don't, in all of our hospitals, we don't necessarily have 24-hour physician care.
Okay.
But we do have hospitals in California, all of them have night physicians.
Oh, great.
So the physicians sleep there at night. And then during the day, we have physicians coming in and out all day long.
So there's basically a physician on site at all times.
Pretty much.
Which is pretty neat and
yes.
Definitely a differentiator
yes.
versus skilled nursing.
Absolutely.
Now, you mentioned interdisciplinary approach. Tell us about the staff at a Kindred hospital.
Yeah.
Who's involved in that?
Yeah. So we have multiple departments, which I think is what helps us provide the care to these critically ill patients. As I discussed, we have respiratory therapists here 24 hours a day, which are are critical in caring for our large ventilator population and supported by our pulmonologists that come into our hospitals. We have the rehab department, physical therapy, occupational therapy, speech therapy. Our hospitals have radiology services.
Okay.
We can do chest x-rays at bedside, CT scans, MRIs. So a lot of the diagnostics that maybe in a lower level setting they would need to be sent out for, we can provide within our hospitals.
Okay.
Laboratory services, including blood bank, diagnostics within our laboratories. And then another thing is our operating rooms.
Yeah.
So in California, all of our hospitals have functioning operating rooms.
Okay.
We have surgeons, anesthesiologists that come in and perform procedures here so that the patients don't need to be sent out for that.
Can you share with us a little bit about maybe some common conditions that are served here at a Kindred Hospital? And also you mentioned the OR, so I'd be curious about the common conditions, but also the common procedures that are done.
So we see a large volume of respiratory patients within our hospitals. And, and as I spoke about, our respiratory therapists and pulmonologists really provide assistance in that. We'll see post-pneumonia, exacerbation of COPD, congestive heart failure. We take care of very complex wounds. We have wound care departments and wound care coordinators in each of our hospitals that are able to support patients that come in with complex that wound care needs.
Yeah, my I have a family member, and I was about to say who, but I'd rather not,
right,
who has a severe wound. And I've been in healthcare for about 12, 14 years, but I don't always see images of everything. And I saw my family member's wound, and I was blown away.
It's gut-wrenching.
Right? Yes. And so to have specialists treat it, I think, is really important. And I know not all entities have that.
Right.
So it's I'm glad to hear you guys have that available.
Right. And then within the OR, as you requested, as many of our hospitals have plastic surgeons, so are able to perform flaps if their wound would require that. Some of the other procedures in our ORs that we can perform are the tracheostomies, the PEGs, and so forth.
Okay, good.
So operating rooms, doctors sleeping at the hospital, you know, trachs, the whole nine yards. Could you explain maybe some of the differences between your standard hospitals and your LTACs, and as well as where maybe you fit into the patient care continuum?
Yeah, so I think the biggest difference between a traditional short-term acute care hospital and our long-term acute care hospitals is that we don't have emergency rooms. So we don't take patients that show up, you know, with in an ambulance or anything. We take patients that are transferred to us from the traditional short-term acute care hospital, as well as other methods, which we call a direct admit program.
Okay.
So if a patient, which is within a skilled nursing facility, maybe having a change in condition, the physician can facilitate a transfer into one of our hospitals. But that's coordinated with our internal teams and their physician. But I think that's one of the main differences. And then we also care for patients over the age of 18.
Okay, so pediatrics.
No.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah. Got it.
Yes.
Readmission prevention.
Yes.
For the last few years, with the Affordable Care Act coming through the pipeline over the last few years, it's been a topic that's been well spoken about throughout the last few years. Can you tell us a little bit about your efforts or Kindred's efforts in keeping folks out of the acute hospitals, maybe some of the successes and even challenges you guys have seen?
So Kindred Healthcare and then the Kindred Hospitals are very focused on readmissions and preventing them. And I think that we play a role with that in two parts. One, we want to prevent the readmissions coming from our own hospitals.
Yeah.
But then we also want to partner with our traditional short-term acute care hospitals in the community to help them with their readmission rates.
Yeah.
So we see our role, you know, expanding further than just what's readmitting from our own hospital.
Okay.
And in California, and all across the country, we've had a tremendous focus on that. But our readmission rates in California are less than 6%.
Wow.
In the prior year. So we're really proud of that. And it's by focusing on our clinical outcomes, and it's by holding our interdisciplinary team care meetings and try and, you know, plan create strong care plans for our patients that we're able to assist with these readmissions. And then what also helps us is the multiple services that we have within the hospitals that I spoke about. The ORs, the radiological, the laboratory. So we're able to do a lot of diagnosing within our own hospital where we don't have to send them back. And then one other area that helps us with the readmissions is that all of our hospitals in California have intensive care units.
Okay.
So our ICUs are a higher level of care within our own hospital that can provide care for a patient that may be having a change in condition and need that level of care. Our hospitals also have telemetry and then med-surg level as well to care for the patient at the appropriate level.
Okay, good. Sounds like some good results there with the 6% readmission rate.
Absolutely.
Or below 6%, I should
say.
Now, I wanted to ask length of stay. Mm-hmm. So when a patient, let's say, goes to a short-term acute for a traumatic situation and then stabilized and ready to be in more of a long-term acute setting, tell us a little bit about your length of stay and kind of what happens from there.
Right. So once a patient comes into our hospital from the traditional short-term acute care or even from a direct admission from a skilled nursing facility or other healthcare setting, our team meets and evaluates the patients and has a continued conversation with the physician that really helps to drive that length of stay based on the patient's needs. That's really how we plan the patient's stay.
Okay.
I can tell from an average, from a long-term acute care, we need to keep our length of stay over the 25 days.
Okay.
Within the past year, the average length of stay for Kindred was 27.1.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. And so once they're here, you've treated them, you've cared for them, and mm-hmm. hopefully, you know, they're able to go home. My understanding is they don't all necessarily go directly home. There might be another level of care they go to. Is that correct?
That's correct. We discharge patients. 69% of the Kindred's patients in the prior year did discharge home or to a lower level of care.
Okay.
And so those lower levels of care would include a skilled nursing facility that could be home with home health. It could be a hospice setting. That's really driven by the physician and the patient and what they choose to be their next course of care.
Okay. Very good. Now, you mentioned the lower levels of care. I know when I first got to know Kindred a little bit, I knew that they not just do long-term acute care, but they also had skilled nursing facilities throughout the state and country. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
So we have our long-term acute care hospitals. We have our skilled nursing facilities and subacutes. In Brea, we have a subacute located there. We also have home health and hospice through the acquisition of our Gentiva.
Okay.
Home health and hospice, which is the nation's leading provider of home health and hospice care. And then we also have rehab care, which provides rehab services within different locations. They provide the rehab in all of our long-term acute care hospitals. They also have inpatient rehab facilities located throughout the country as acute rehab options for patients as well.
Okay.
So lots of services Kindred does provide. And really, Kindred has worked to evolve and transforms its operations and capabilities in order to deliver care when and where people need it most. So 10 years ago, Kindred was primarily known for their LTAC and their nursing home levels.
Right.
But they have really evolved to ensure that we can meet the patient's care needs at any level of care, which the physician would and family would deem appropriate for them.
So over this course of time, you've evolved, as has Kindred. You've gone from PT to kind of outpatient to CEO to COO. What challenges have you faced? What challenges has Kindred faced during this time? I mean, it's changing, as we've discussed, with Obamacare and readmissions. What are the key challenges, and how have you addressed them?
So I do think that, change has occurred across the country with healthcare reform. And I think Kindred has done a phenomenal job of continuing to evolve and change their portfolio, as we discussed. And that has helped us to what we call continue the care. And so when a patient comes to us, we no longer only provide the long-term acute care or the nursing home setting, we can provide a continuum of care all the way from the long-term acute care into the home and also you know, provide physician services into the home and support them with that. And so, you know, it will help us position us in the future with any type of bundle payments. We can partner with, managed care and hospital systems on a more collaborative basis. And so I think that's the way that Kindred has really evolved and changed to face some of the challenges that are coming. But, you know, I have complete trust in our leaders, and they continue to plan for the future and what we see to come.
Sounds good. Change is all over the place, I guess you can say nowadays, in a lot of different ways, especially in healthcare.
Right. Right. And as we, you know, as I discussed, the biggest challenge for LTACs continues to be just people understanding what we do. And as I said, unless you've been in a long-term acute care, you don't have that understanding. And so it's our greatest challenge and our mission to continue to go throughout the community and talk to patients and talk to their families to understand what that LTAC is. We have an ongoing effort to clarify any misunderstandings or confusions about LTAC level of care and to demonstrate our value in delivering the strong clinical outcomes. One of the ways I see Kindred giving back to the communities is that they've developed a 866 Kindred phone number.
Okay.
For the communities throughout the country, and patients and their families can call this 866 number 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to identify the best care solutions, find the best settings, and then almost, you know, so important is to help them understand their insurance and their Medicare coverage, because healthcare is so complicated.
Yeah.
And this is a service that Kindred is providing to help guide and to provide options. I know I personally have referred this phone number to friends in the community because they were looking for home health services.
Okay.
And so they were able to call this 866 Kindred number and were connected with our home health services and provided the information that they needed to get the care that they needed at home and to be able to stay at home.
Awesome.
So I think it's a great service that Kindred is providing.
Okay. You talked about Medicare. Now, what about other payers? I hear throughout the community that there are, you know, I don't want to get into politics here, but
right?
There are good payers, there's bad payers, there's good reimbursement, bad reimbursement. What type of payers do you accept? Can anybody come to a Kindred, for example?
So we have contracts with many payers besides Medicare.
Okay.
Currently, a large volume of our patient population, since we serve a geriatric population, are Medicare.
Okay.
But I think as we see healthcare changing, you know, there is a larger population of managed Medicare, managed Medi-Cal, and we do have contracts with many of them within the organization. So we work to continue to grow our partnerships throughout California and throughout the country, but we see them as a very important partner, and we know that we can provide a great service to them and to their patients because of the specialized care that we can provide throughout the continuum.
Okay, good.
So I want to backtrack just a little bit. You mentioned a little bit earlier on that your average length of stay is 27.1 days, whereas you know, a typical patient stays in a traditional hospital an average of maybe 5 to 7 days.
Right.
Can you explain how you're able to keep patients longer and what that looks like, especially in lieu of the conversation we just had about the pay source and the guidelines that they dictate to you?
So again, you know, the length of stay is really determined by the physician and the care that the patient is needed. Those numbers are really just averages. So, you know, if a patient requires a longer length of stay because they may need additional time to wean off of the ventilator, or they came into us very critically in the ICU and are taking an extended time to stabilize to move to a lower level of care, that is what determines the longer length of stay. If a patient no longer needs our services and we, you know, continue to provide efficient care and no longer need the therapy services or the daily physician visits or anything that the hospitals are able to provide, we do quickly, and safely discharge them to a lower level of care based on the physician and the patient need.
Okay, very good. Are there any challenges with the healthcare community or general population that you're hoping to overcome in the next 5 to 10 years, for example, I think most of the general population, if they're told, hey, we're going to take you from this, you know, hospital, which you've maybe donated to or have been a part of a community, we're going to send you to another organization that they've never heard of. Mm-hmm. Is that ever an issue where people are like, what's a Kindred?
Right.
And how do you educate just a general person, not necessarily the healthcare related person?
So in California, at least here in Southern California, I think there's a great model because most of the time, I wouldn't say all of the time, but a lot of the times, our physicians who are seeing the patients in the short-term acute care hospital will actually refer the patient to Kindred, and then they will continue to follow them at Kindred.
Oh, okay.
So there's a continuity of care from a physician standpoint.
Great.
And so the physicians who are at the short-term acute or traditional acute care hospital and are also at our Kindreds will go to the patient and to the family and help us to educate them on the services that they provide and why, from a clinical standpoint, they require a long-term acute care stay. And so I think that helps the families and helps them to understand why they are going to another hospital versus going home or versus going to a skilled nursing facility. And then we have a wonderful process where we have clinical liaisons out, and they are assigned to short-term acute care hospitals in throughout the community. And they also will go and see the patient, meet the patient, evaluate the patient, ensure that they also need our level of care, and then discuss with the families where they are going and why they're going and what the plan will be for them there. And then we also always encourage potential patients for their families to come and tour the hospital before they get here, so that any questions that they may have, say they can see the rooms, they can see the hospitals, and really really lower the fears that they may have in transitioning from a traditional acute care hospitals into ours. But I think between all of those, the physician continuity, touring the hospital, meeting our leadership, those are all areas that help our patients feel at ease when they come into the buildings.
Okay, good. Now, I know Kindred has evolved quite a bit over the last 10 years and continue to be able to provide care in different settings. Are there any ways you see evolution of Kindred in the next 5 to 10 years? Any other business lines or any other changes that you see down the pipeline?
You know, one thing that Kindred continues to do is a partner with the hospital systems. And so we are entering into joint ventures throughout the country with the healthcare systems. A couple that I can speak about and are in progress in our Phoenix market, we have a joint venture with Dignity for a 50-bed inpatient rehab facility. They've done their groundbreaking. They're in construction. I think the anticipated opening will be sometime in the future, late this year or early next year. But, you know, those are some of the examples that we continue to look at and how we're partnering better within the community and, you know, looking at what are the community needs and how can we work with health systems that are there to partner together better.
Okay, very good. And as we wrap up the podcast today, I had to ask, my mom is a big horse racing fan, so when I heard Kindred is based, or the corporation headquarters is in Louisville, Kentucky, I wanted to ask you if you've ever been, and if you've ever been to Louisville, first of all, I'm assuming you have.
Yes.
And if you've ever done any sightseeing while in Louisville.
So didn't enter this into the opening, but I actually lived in Kentucky for a year as part of my journey with Kindred. And so I was there for just a year, and I actually got to participate in not only the Derby, not participate, I didn't ride a horse.
Wow.
I got to watch
the volleyball and the jockey. That's unusual.
I got to watch the Derby. And then I also, which I think is just as wonderful, got to see the Oaks Day, which is the race the day before the Derby. And wonderful opportunity, and not only just the races, but being in Kentucky and Louisville for the month of Derby is just a spectacular opportunity, and the celebrations and really the community camaraderie is just amazing. So I feel very fortunate to have had that opportunity.
Awesome. And have you had a mint julep?
Well, maybe one.
How is it? I've never had it. I've heard, I mean, isn't there like a $3,000 mint julep or something out
well,
there?
Well, I did not have that one. I think I had the $3.99.
Perfect. Just one.
Just one. Yes. They're probably wouldn't be my first choice of cocktail, but it was enjoyable. It made the entire experience come together.
Awesome, Brooke. Well, it's been great getting to know you a little bit on the recording today, and not just learning on the professional side, but a little bit on the personal side, too. For those of you who don't know, Brooke has a daughter who's 8 years old and a husband and resides here in the Huntington Beach area. So it's been quite a joy to spend time with you today, Brooke, and learn
Thank
more.
You.
You're welcome. Learn more about what Kindred is doing. Ryan, final thoughts?
Thank you very much. It's always nice to kind of pull back the curtain a little bit and learn about how some of the community partners out there are working and what they're doing to change with the times, and exciting to learn more about your journey with Kindred, and somebody who has lived in Pennsylvania and traveled out to California now and lives here currently. It's nice to see somebody else. So thank you.
Thank you.
Brooke, joy to have you, and hopefully we'll see continued success and evolution with Kindred down the line, and everyone stay tuned for the next episode of Pop Health Podcast. Thanks, everybody. Take care.